I think it's funny sometimes how things happen. If you were here this morning for the Bible study, we were discussing how to study the Bible, and one of the passages that Mike had put in part of his presentation was Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. And I couldn't help but sit there in the audience and just listen to everybody comment about my lesson tonight. I tell you, I don't know how many times that there seems that that happens where either someone else's lesson coincides with yours, or the songs or the Bible study. It seems it happens a lot, and I think that's a pretty neat thing. But I got the idea for my lesson from a couple weeks ago. We have the Parenting from Proverbs book, and I was trying to come up with a bulletin, actually, a couple weeks ago. And I saw this in the book, and I ended up writing two bulletins just from that one verse. And then from that, I still thought I could talk about it even more, and so I prepared a lesson from that one verse. Yeah. So buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23. You know, I think about this statement, and it really is just a very simple statement. Buy the truth and sell it not. And yet inside of it, I just think it's really profound. I really do, because inside of it, I believe, to me anyways, that it contains the whole meaning of life. Buy the truth and sell it not. If I simply buy the truth and hold on to it and never let go, never sell it, then I will have lived a life pleasing to the Lord, and by His grace receive an eternal inheritance. It's a twofold statement: buy the truth and sell it not. What that means is it indicates that there's a chance that you could actually obtain this great valuable thing, but then turn around and sell it. There's a chance that you could lose it. And so it's a twofold statement, really. But tonight I just kind of want to talk about the first part, buying the truth. And perhaps in another lesson we'll talk about losing it. Or selling it. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and do not sell it, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. You know, Solomon prayed to God for wisdom, and God blessed him with great wisdom. And outside of Christ, he was probably the most wisest man to ever live. And so when you consider that, I think then that the admonitions that he gives to us are certainly worthy of our consideration. And so when he says, buy the truth and sell it not, I think we need to look closely at what he's saying as it applies to our spiritual welfare. Well, truth is the commodity that we are urged to buy. But what does that mean? What is truth? And we kind of skirted on that this morning in the Bible study. We kind of talked about it a little bit. What is truth? You know, if you remember, this is the same question that Pilate asked when Jesus was before him. Why don't you turn with me to John chapter 8. I'm sorry, John 18. John 18 and verses 37, 38. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And then when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. Pilate's response to Jesus was, you can almost see him shrugging his shoulders. What is truth? As he walked out the door. Honestly, I think this is a situation a lot of people find themselves in. You know, what is truth? You know, what is true and what is not? This is certainly a question that I think we need to answer. I've taken the liberty of putting some of the scriptures right inside the PowerPoint presentation, but if you want to follow along in the Bible, that's fine. But in John chapter 1, verse 17, The gospel, the apostle says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." And so he makes a distinction here between the old law, which was given by Moses, and truth, which came by Jesus. Truth, which Jesus, it was given by Jesus. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so you notice here that in order to know the truth, we have to abide in the word of Christ. And the second part of that is that truth can make us free. So we're getting a little bit of information here to define truth. John 14:6, we looked at this morning. Jesus said unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus says flat out that he is the truth. John 17:17, when Jesus was praying for his disciples, he said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." And so Jesus indicates here that the truth has the ability to sanctify. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. And of course, we already read John 18, verse 37 and 38. So I think in a general sense, then, we can say the truth is the word of God as taught by Jesus Christ, and that it has the power to make us free by sanctification. Well, why should we buy it? It's a fair question. Solomon urges us to buy the truth, but why should we buy it? Well, as we already discussed from John 17:17, that it sanctifies us. It has the ability and the power to sanctify us. And what that means is that we are unclean. Before we are accept the truth, before we have the truth, we are in an unclean state. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have fallen short of the glory of God and sin." Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. "But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe." And finally, Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you." And so you see, we all fall under the same condemnation. We all are under the same problem. And it's that our iniquities, our sins, have separated us from God and made us unclean. And so, again, one of the reasons that we need the truth is because we are unclean. Secondly, we cannot go to the Father without it. We noted in John chapter 14 and verse 6 that nobody comes to the Father except by way of Jesus Christ, who is the truth. And so we simply can't approach him without it. And thirdly, the grace of God and truth are inseparable. They go hand in hand. Next passage is from Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And then in Titus, the second chapter, verse 11 and 12, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." And so it's the truth. It is the truth that teaches us and instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and to teach us to live soberly and righteously. Second point I want to make, that we should buy all the truth. Now you may say, well, isn't that kind of obvious, Eric? And, well, yeah, it should be kind of obvious. It should be common sense that we would want to buy all the truth. But when you think about it, it's another common problem today. People don't mind accepting some of the truth as long as it fits in their lifestyle or fits and it's not inconvenient to them. But the writer indicates that this is so valuable that we need all of it, not just some of it. And I wanted you to think about it in a material way for a minute. When you go to buy something materially, you want to buy it all. It wouldn't do you any good if you bought part of it. If I was to buy a new vehicle, I wouldn't walk up to the guys and just give me the tires, the frame, a seat, and a wheel. What good would that do me? I need the whole car. But sometimes, sadly, I think we or others may approach the scriptures this way, where we don't want all the truth. We just want what fits us. I'm not going to take the time to look at Acts 20, but there's a passage where Paul talks about him sharing all of the gospel or all of the truth to the Jews that he was speaking to. Verse 27 particularly says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So common sense is going to tell us that we want all the truth. Secondly, I'm going to suggest that we buy only the truth. And what I mean by that is, since truth is found in the Word of God, then we must demand book, chapter, and verse for everything. We must have only the truth and nothing else. And I want to point out here that we have to be aware that error is composed of some truth. If you take a look way back in the beginning to the example of Adam and Eve in the garden, what did the devil do to tempt Adam and Eve? Well, he offered them a half-truth. When the woman had told the devil what the Lord had said regarding the tree, she said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Well, his response was, and the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. And of course, it contained in that was a half-truth. We have the same problem in today. Religions today teach some truth, but we have to remember that some truth and some error cannot save. Now, I'll give you two examples. Faith without baptism and baptism without faith. We know that the two go hand in hand, but there are others that profess that all you need to do is to believe, that you don't need to be baptized. But again, we want to demand book, chapter, and verse, and so I'll turn to Mark chapter 16 and read verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And conversely, baptism without faith, we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 8, verse 36 and 38. Being baptized as an outward sign, or being baptized not for the remission of sins, is not the whole truth. It's not what the scriptures say, and it's not what we want. Acts chapter 8, verse 36 to 38. Now, as they went down to the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now I want you to know what's interesting here is that the eunuch asked him a question. He says, what hinders me from being baptized? By asking that question, then we can obviously deduct that there there can be a hindrance to being baptized. Because he says, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip really gives him the answer. He says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He gives him the condition. And so what I want us to remember is that we have to be aware ourselves that we only want the truth as God has revealed in His Word. Well, what does it really mean to buy the truth? I mean, obviously, we're not talking about pooling together my life savings and cutting a personal check. What the writer is talking about here by the word buy is that we need to lay hold of, procure, or I like the last one is to accept. When we talk about buying the truth, it means we're accepting the truth. We're laying hold of it. And so to be saved, one must accept or lay hold of the truth. And again, that's all the truth and only the truth. 1 Peter chapter 1, 22, the Apostle Peter reminds us this, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, or accepting the truth, through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. I think thirdly, too, is we have to buy the truth regardless of the cost. Jesus spoke a parable, a really short parable, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 and 46, and I think it parallels perfectly with what Solomon is talking about. Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And so when you compare that to what Solomon is talking about buying the truth being such a valuable commodity, the truth being the ultimate price, the ultimate thing, then we can see then that this is what we want, this is what we need to buy, this is what we want. We would sell everything we have to buy it. Many people seek many things, but Solomon's urging us to buy the one thing that matters, and that is truth. And so, you know, again, you notice the merchant went out seeking a lot of things. He looked for multiple pearls, but when he had found just one pearl of great price, he sold everything he had to buy it. And that's what truth is to us. It's that one pearl of great price. It's worth everything we have. The question is, are we willing to pay the price? There are some things involved, like self-denial. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. When we accept the truth, there are going to be some things that we have to leave behind. And in doing so, we're going to have to deny ourselves of these things. We have to leave them behind. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, then let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. A second possibility is severing of friendships or family ties. And this may or may not happen. This is a situation that may happen as a result of you accepting the truth. And it certainly it has to be something that you're prepared to do. You may have friends who don't want to go along with you. You may have family members who don't agree with you. And Jesus speaking in Matthew 10, verses 34 through 37, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So again, a second possibility for us is some friction between family members or friends. Forsaking the old way of life. Each of us has a background. Each of us came from a life of sin. But again, that way of life has to be put aside. And in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it talks about a change, a transformation that needs to take place. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So again, there's a transformation that takes place when we accept the truth. And finally, for some, it means death, or it meant death. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, John was writing to some people that were going to have to deal with this. We are blessed in this country to be able to worship in freedom. But when John was writing this letter, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, he said to them, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, that you may have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." The bottom line is, this great pearl is so valuable that we have to be willing to sell all. We have to be willing to pay the price. Finally, I want to suggest that we have to buy the truth now. Buy it now. Don't be content to intend to buy it or accept it in a later date. It just seems to me that a lot of people live their life this way, and this is a danger even for Christians. We might not be in the state that we're supposed to be. We might not be living the life we're supposed to be living. But we keep procrastinating, thinking, "I will change later. I will take care of business later. I will accept the truth later. I will get back on track later." Too many have been, or are, lost by the intent to do something and nothing more. We have a crafty adversary in Satan. I think one of the greatest hindrances he's placed before us is this attitude of, "I will obey, but later. I will do it later in life. I have too many things to do. I'm not willing to pay the price right now. Or I don't want to cause problems with my family or my friends." Whatever the excuse may be, the procrastination, the temptation is there. But the writer of Solomon, when he made that statement, he made it seem like this is something so valuable that you have to have it now and you can never get rid of it. I want you also to remember the story of Felix, the governor, from Acts chapter 24, verse 25. Remember, Paul had preached to Felix about a lot of different things, and it seems that he got really close. But in the final analysis, Felix said, it says in verse 25, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, he even spoke to him about the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now, and when I have a convenient time, I will call for you." I think it's important that if we're here tonight, whatever our condition is, whether we're lost in our sins or we've been saved but we're not living the life we should, that we need to accept the truth and accept Jesus tonight. That we need to make our past right. A few more passages of the scripture and the lesson will be yours. 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Hebrews 4:7, "Today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." And finally, James chapter 4, it was too big to put on there. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit.' Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that.'" Well, in conclusion, I hope what we gather tonight is that God has definitely provided everything that one needs to be saved. And He's done that through His Son. The truth can sanctify us, and it can make us free from sin. But you have to buy it. You have to accept it. If you're not buying it or accepting it, then you're reselling it or you're rejecting it. The scriptures warn against those who backslide, those who have trampled underfoot the Son of God again. And that could be the condition of you tonight. And if so, we would hope that you would consider this. We have water if you need to be baptized. If you want to be washed tonight of your sins, to be sanctified in the truth, we can certainly help you do that as well. But really, when you think about it, folks, there's no reason sufficient for selling the truth or not buying it now. And I hope that you will think about that as we stand and sing.